Well, that hymn really does summarize our salvation. And when I hear it, or when we sing it, it always reminds me of J. Vernon McGee, because that was the song that... Is he still on the radio, J. Vernon McGee, his program? He always... Well, I know he's not, because he died a long time ago, but his program always started with that hymn. So we do have communion tonight. Is that... We have juice? Okay, we'll have communion tonight. That's fine. I didn't realize it was ready. Thank you. So we will have communion. I take back what I said. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll continue looking at the subject that was introduced in verses 12 and 13, that is, the mortification of sin. A very central part of Christian living. And we took a couple weeks to go through verses 12 and 13, and then starting a week or two ago, we expanded our search through the whole of the New Testament, looking at the doctrine of mortification of sin. So, again, let me read verses 12 and 13, and then we'll start. Verse 12 of Romans 8, Paul writes, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And we're really focusing on that last part of verse 13 where it says, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And we have pointed out several things in regard to this mortification of sin. That first of all, it's something that's only accomplished by the Holy Spirit. It's if you, by the Spirit, are putting to death the deeds of the body. It obviously requires something on our part, because it's not just a passive process. You are, by the Spirit, putting to death these things, the deeds of the body. So it does require effort. It requires thought. It requires purpose. It requires your will and your mind and so forth. It requires something of you, but it's done by the Spirit. And it is a process. You are doing it. It's not something that you do it once and done at the beginning of your Christian walk, and then after that, it's easy. It's not like that. It's something that you are doing as a process, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. You are putting to death the deeds of the body. And at the end of this, you inherit eternal life. Or as Peter says in 2 Peter, there will be an abundant entrance for you in His kingdom. 2 Peter 1, I think that's verse 12. And so, we've been looking at what the Bible, the whole Bible, says about how this works. Yes, Paul. Basic is good. Correct. And it's a good question. I want to emphasize the fact, and I was going to say this later, but I'll say it now since you brought it up. I want to emphasize the fact there are always two tendencies in regard to sanctification, and I hear them often. And it's kind of, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's not, but there are those who speak about sanctification as if there's no real victory in Christ. You know, it's like, oh, it's just a struggle every day, and it's just hard, and, you know, the Christian life is just one hard life. And I want to emphasize the fact that's not quite true. There's an aspect of truth to it. There are hard things about the Christian life. It is difficult. We go through growing times that are especially painful, and we see how evil our own hearts are. That's true. We are never going to reach perfection in this life. That's all true. But be careful, there is victory in Christ, okay? There is victory in Christ. And you do, day by day, you must overcome sin, and you can, through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can and you must overcome sin in your life. Okay, so we want to emphasize the fact, yes, it is a daily struggle, and yes, it's something we'll never be perfected, but there is victory. And that victory is in Christ. Okay? That victory is in Christ. It has been paid for by Christ. But then there's the other extreme, and there are those who, and I won't mention names here, although I probably could, but I want to be careful because it's not, there are those who almost speak about the Christian life as if you struggle, there's something wrong. You know, it's like, there's victory, and you should live in that victory day after day, and you should know nothing but joy and peace. And if you struggle with sin or the flesh, there's something wrong, and you're not walking by faith. And again, there's an aspect of truth to that. We ought to be living in a victorious life. We can have victory over sin, but there's the other side of it. It is a struggle. So I want to be careful that we don't lose what I believe is the biblical balance. Yes, there is a struggle, but there is victory. And I'm always a little concerned when the testimony is only, oh, it's just a hard life. Okay, there's something not quite right if that's the only testimony. Okay, the Christian life, what I said this morning is true. The Christian life, the work of the Holy Spirit, is a freeing life. It is a freeing life. It's not an oppressive life. It's a life of joy, fundamentally. And it is a life of victory. But it's a life of victory that comes with, it really comes through searching and through diligence. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let me observe again what I said last time. When it says, by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body. Okay, by the Spirit, and I included, there were three things that, again, I just want to emphasize, whatever else by the Spirit means, we can say this for certain, I think, biblically, and that is that God has given us means of grace. Okay, and by means of grace, I mean the means by which God conveys His grace to us, overcoming grace, if you will. And those means are, you should know this, Scripture, prayer, and the church. Okay, those three things are the means by which God has given us to overcome sin. Okay, we don't overcome sin through psychology and through asceticism and through all these things. We overcome sin by the Word of God, by prayer, and through the church. It's impossible to overcome sin if you're not a believer. But I say that because in the end, you know, whatever else we say, it comes down to these three things. Okay? Let me go on here then and talk about these. I have a list of seven. There's nothing inspired about this number, but it is the perfect number. But I have seven things that I listed here as principles, if you will, biblical principles in overcoming sin. And the first one I talked about the first two last time, and I'll just rehearse them. The first one is reckon yourself dead to sin, Romans 6:11. And this is in light of, again, our justification by faith. Okay. And this is the same word that Paul uses in Romans 4 and multiple times that is often translated account or consider it so. It's an accounting term. And the idea is that, and this is an act of, this is faith, okay? This is just faith. Faith in the Word of God, okay? I reckon it so that I am dead to sin and I'm alive to God. That's the first command that Paul gives in Romans. It's Romans 6:11. And in light of the fact that we are justified by faith, he says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Why? Because you are dead if you're born again. You have died to yourself, you're alive to God. Reckon it so. And the second thing, which is very closely related to it, and in a sense it's almost part of the same thing, you might put one and two together, but they're closely related. Because you reckon yourself dead to sin, or you might say the means by which you reckon yourself to sin, or the result of reckoning yourself to sin, is yielding yourself to God. Yielding yourself to God. Romans 6:13. Okay? I'll just read it. And do not go on presenting, or it could be yielding in the King James. Either word is fine. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. In other words, you are day by day presenting, think of an offering, you know, someone who would come to the temple with an offering, presenting a gift to God. You are day by day presenting your life, you, yourself, all that you are presenting yourself to God as an instrument in His hand. That's how you reckon yourself, or that's part of reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You are consciously yielding up your life to God day after day after day, saying, Lord, not your will, but mine. No, wrong way. Not my will, but yours. Okay, again, it's what I talked about this morning, really, in the essence, true worship. Okay, it's saying not my will, but yours, Lord. And consciously yielding up in your heart your life to God as an offering, a living sacrifice. Same word that's used in Romans 12:1. Present yourselves your body is a living sacrifice. Okay, that's what we're doing day by day. And I said this last time, and I'll repeat it. I believe in many respects this is the most fundamental, most basic aspect to sanctification. And what I mean by that is that, and it comes early in Romans. It's Romans 6, and then it's also at the very beginning of Romans 12, which is the practical aspect of Romans. It's the very first thing, and I think it's the most fundamental. Now, there are, and I pointed this out, there are some theologies that make it the only thing, that make it a once-and-done thing, and I think both of the cases it's wrong. It's something that is fundamental to the other things, but it's first. And it's something we have to continually do. It's not something that we do once, you know, like we get up at a camp meeting and say, I dedicate my life to God, and then that's, no. It's something that day by day, and especially as new things come up. I was telling someone the other day, I was really frustrated over this loss of power in my life. I mean, I'm talking about physical, electrical power. I was really annoyed, you know, and I had to consciously really just yield that up to God and say, you know, Lord, you're sovereign over storms, you're sovereign over electric, you're sovereign over the crews that are... And you just have to lay it down, you know, that's yielding yourself up. You have to yield yourself up to God in your heart. You have to consciously say, you have to be submitted to His will, both His revealed will, that is His commands, Scripture, and also His hidden will, which is providentially what happens, like your electric going out. That's His hidden will. It wasn't revealed in Scripture that my electric was going to go out, but when it went out, that was His hidden will was now revealed. But you see, this is the most fundamental aspect of sanctification, because until you do this, if you're holding back on God and you're saying, Lord, you can have everything in my life except for this, or this and this, and if you're consciously doing that, saying, Lord, not this, then you're short-circuiting. The electrical mode is really in my head. You short-circuit the process. Because you have to realize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is not something you personally can turn it off, on and off like a light switch, right? Yeah, I'm really sorry. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God, and the very essence of that relationship is submission. I mean, that's our relationship. Yes, it's a relationship of love. We're a child, we're a son, but we're slaves. And And the very essence of our relationship to the Holy Spirit is one of, Lord, you're in charge, I'm not. And when you refuse to submit at any level, at any point, knowingly, just, I guess you'd say a paradox. But it is the Christian life. Now again, it's what I said earlier in response to Paul's question. We can't lose either side of that equation, or that either side of that paradox. The temptation, and almost all false teaching or less than perfect teaching, has a tendency to overemphasize one truth against another and not keeping the balance. And so we want to recognize the fact that, yes, we are a new creature. We need to overcome sin, and God has given us everything we need to overcome sin, yet also we are in a process that is a daily thing, that we are day by day being renewed. Look at Romans 12, and I know you know this verse, Romans 12, 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, the concept here is that of, you know, something that's ongoing. And notice it has both a negative component. Do not be conformed to this world. That's the temptation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, there's a sense in which when you're born again, you're transformed, right? You're a new creature. But you're also being transformed day by day as you renew your mind. And the only way you cannot be conformed to this world is if you are renewing your mind, again, in Scripture. If we're just passive and we're not renewing our mind day by day in the Word of God, we will be, by definition, really, you will be conformed to the world. I don't think we realize sometimes how much we are influenced by the things we read and see and hear. Whatever it is, it might be, you know, whether it's you read the newspaper, whether it's you go to classes, you go to seminars, maybe for work, or just input from people you know or conversations you have with people. Books you read, novels you read, programs you watch on television, whatever it is. I mean, all of these things influence our thinking in ways we're not even conscious of. In fact, I've said, I think one of the brilliant things about television is people influence our culture through that medium, as well as movies and other things. Without the brilliance of that whole process is that it affects people's thinking without them realizing it's affecting their thinking. It really does change thinking. It changes a culture. It's an input that people don't realize they're receiving. They don't think of it. They think of it as what? Entertainment. No thinking. That's what it means. Okay? They think of it as just simply a form of relaxation or as simply a form of entertainment. But it is a form of indoctrination. Everything you see has a message. It has a purpose. It has a worldview, if you will. It has a thinking behind it that is being presented. And the brilliance of it is it's being presented in such a way that it's not received that way, but it's still received. It changes us. And my point in all this is that there is a sense in which if you don't renew your mind in the Word of God, you know, the default position is you're going to be conformed. You're going to be conformed to the world because that's the only other option. Okay? I mean, you're going to be conformed to some kind of thinking of the world. And so we are transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no other way to be transformed. There's no other way to be transformed than by renewing your mind. And the way you renew your mind is through the Word of God. So that, again, increasingly, day by day, you begin thinking biblically. You begin thinking biblically. And, again, there's no shortcut to this. You know, you don't become an expert in the Bible or a changed person in a moment. It's something that day by day, you must saturate your mind with the Word of God in order that you begin to think biblically. so that when things happen, you begin to see them through the lens of Scripture instead of through the lens of Hollywood, and they're completely opposed to each other. Okay? If you just take in all the media around you, you're going to just react like everyone else reacts because that's what you're taught, right? If you're going to react differently and biblically, the only way is if you truly do fill your mind with the Word of God and believe what it says and live according to it. So take, for example, the doctrine of God. You take all that it says about God as being sovereign, as being all-knowing, all-wise, all-good, as caring for his children. See, all of those are, you know, doctrines, but we need to be immersed in those thoughts and those doctrines in order that we, you know, when things happen, we see life through those truths. Okay? And the only way that it's not simply like learning one fact, like 2 + 2 = 4, and then you learn that and that's it, and you have that in your life. It's not like that. It's something that every day you have to be filling your mind with the Word of God so that it's there. Okay? I can't say enough about the need to be in the Word of God every day. Again, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, you don't have to know Greek or Hebrew, you don't have to spend 5 hours in the Bible. I often say, you know, it's Trento study, I often say a Christian ought to at least take a half an hour every day just to read the Bible. Just read it. Okay? You say, where do you begin? The beginning. Where do you read to? The end. You just and you do it again. You know, you just read the Bible. Read the Bible every day with a prayerful, humble spirit. I mean, you know, that to me seems like a basic fundamental thing that every Christian should do, because that's the only way you'll ever renew your mind. Now, yeah, there's importance in studying the Bible and things like that, but very at a most basic level, we need to be doing that, because that is how your mind is renewed and that's how you will begin to think biblically. Memorization, I think, is also important from that regard. Okay, turn over to Ephesians 4:23. Now, I'm going to read verses 22 to verse 24, and I want you to see how verse 23 is right in the middle. I know that's basic math, but I want you to see logically how verse 23 is like the pivoting, and it's kind of right in the middle. Verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now again, there's a sense in which, and Paul says this in another place, there's a sense in which this is already done. Past tense. We have in Christ laid aside the old man and we have put on the new man. But now he says it in a present tense, in the sense of we must be, it's a command, we must lay aside the old man, and we must put on the new man. And right in the middle is the means. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You say, how do you put off the old man? How do you put on the new man? By being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is the only way. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's why I said, you know, means of grace. Okay, the means of grace, the most fundamental means of grace, is the Word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit changes us, by teaching us through the Word of God, day by day, processing everything that we face, every trouble, every trial, every sin, every struggle, every blessing, everything, processing it through Scripture, through the lens of Scripture, through the eyes of God, taking on God's perspective of everything. Okay? And what you're going to find increasingly as you learn the Word of God, as you study the Bible, as you hear the Word of God taught and preached, what you're going to find is that the mind of God is completely opposed to and the complete negation of the mind of the world. It is a completely opposite thing. And as you renew your mind, you will put these things on and off. Well, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to go late. And we want to have communion. But I'll just ask, well, let me just look at one more verse that speaks about this continued. I won't say much about it. I'll just read it. Colossians 3:10. Paul says, well, I'll read again for the sake of continuity here, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside, again, notice here it's past tense, you laid aside the old self with the evil practices and have put on the new self, past tense. See, here he speaks of it as something that happened at regeneration. Who is being, present tense, being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So again, here you have this, yes, it's happened, but yes, it's happening. And the idea is that you are day by day being renewed to a true knowledge. Notice again, the renewal has to do with knowledge, has to do with thinking. It's your mind. That's where the battle is. We'll look at some other verses next time. That's where the battle is. The whole battle has to do with how you think, renewing your mind. And this is the most basic, you know, again, daily thing from a practical perspective that we're doing to overcome sin. We are renewing our mind day by day. And that involves, as we're going to see some more next time, both a positive and a negative aspect. Does anybody have any questions about what I've said or about what's in these passages? Does that make sense? Paul. Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's a Christian would definitely say that we're not what we were, we're not what we're going to be, but we are being changed. We are a new creature. We have new desires. We have a new heart. We have a genuine desire to please the Lord, but we still, you know, we still struggle with the flesh. So, yeah. Any other thoughts or concerns? Questions? Okay, if not, let's partake of communion.